Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for you. My life desires to live for you.
Beautiful morning, everyone. It is December the 2nd. This is Josie, Josie's Inspiration, A to Z Essential Oils for Cancer Care. And I am really grateful. You know, we talk about the season of Thanksgiving being a time of gratitude, but my belief in my heart always stays in a place of gratitude. Gratitude and appreciation for opportunities for my life. And today, December 2nd, I'm so excited to be kicking off this holiday season, the month of December. People are talking so much about this being the last decade, about 2020 coming. And, you know, what's most important to me is that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so every day is a brand new opportunity for us to praise Him, to give Him the glory for all the blessings in our lives and even the challenges that we experience, because challenges only come to make us stronger. And so today I'm extremely excited. I thought about this a couple of weeks ago and decided that for the month of December, I have two shows. And I wanted to talk about essential oils in a different way. I wanted to talk about essential oils of the Bible, the healing oils of the Bible. So often, you know, we hear people talk about, you know, the oils of the Bible and how the Magi brought oil to the Christ Jesus, to the baby, to the Christ child. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And, you know, in our current vision, we think, oh, you know, they showed up with these vessels of, you know, these bottles or little vessels of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But these are most precious items during that time. And so they would not have been as readily available for them to carry around a whole lot. So the resins of gold or resins of frankincense and the resins of myrrh are what is believed to have been taken by the Magi for the Christ child. So today, I want to talk a little about my favorite topic, essential oils, but a new twist. Generally, I'm talking about essential oils for cancer care, and I always give that disclaimer that the information that I share is that for informational purposes. I'm not a doctor, so I don't seek to diagnose or treat anyone with what I share with you. But today I'm giving some reference information from a lot of different sources as I've been reading and really understanding and taking time to see where and how essential oils were referenced and how they were used during biblical times. And so the first thing that, you know, really is important is that, you know, while we know oils today and they have their place on shelves all over the place, what the blends are that we currently have, we're not going to find necessarily that beside our favorite Bible verse. But there are lots of botanicals and oils that are listed in the Bible. And so I'm going to go through some of the healing oils this morning that have been singled out as potential essential healing oils or aromatic extracts that we can still get today. And some of the names may be a little different. So, you know, as I talk about them, I'm going to give you what information that I know. So one of the first things that I found was reading about aloes. Aloes being a symbol of abundance and provision, shown in Numbers 24:6, in Psalm 45:8, and Proverbs 7:17, aloes were referred to as a perfume, and in Song of Solomon 4:14, it was used as an incense, get my tongue together here, and in John 19:39, as a burial ointment for Christ. So what are aloes? Well, they're like a cactus, and if you look in the traditional dictionary, it will say that aloe is a tropical plant with a healing gel. And we know aloe vera oils and things like that, but there's a bigger picture to what aloes really are. And the fragrant wood of an East Indian tree, the Aquilora agalocha, is an aloe that in its aromatic extract is considered to be sandalwood. sandalwood. I love sandalwood because sandalwood is really an earthy fragrance. It is an oil that I think a lot of men and a lot of women, as they smell it, they think about it in terms of its deep, rich earthiness. And so the sandalwood, I'm going to give you just a little bit more background about sandalwood. And it is a masculine oil, highly effective as an aphrodisiac oil for men. It's effective also for short-term mental stress, as well as an oil used in a lot of skincare products. It is an oil that is considered to be very grounding, and it helps hold scents together. It's anti-inflammatory. It reduces inflammation. It, as I said, can be an aphrodisiac, but it also has some other benefits, such as for the emotions. It's inspiring of beauty, courage, confidence, hopeful, and sympathetic. And it works on the key bottom body systems of the respiratory system, nervous, urinary, skin, and the circulatory system. So that sandalwood is such a powerful oil. You know, we know it as something that can be sandalwood as incense. We know that it can be something that is in cosmetics, and it has that benefit as a cardiac toner, and it has some digestive benefits as well. So when you hear about aloes in the Bible, you know, don't think about your aloe vera gel. Think about sandalwood. Think about that beautiful, rich, earthy scent that could be used for healing and especially for embalming. And that is a little bit about the sandalwood, a symbol of abundance and provision, a perfume, an incense, a burial ointment for Christ. Then the next oil I'm going to talk about is cassia. And so cassia, it kind of relates to the verb, like an herb, senna. And we sometimes think about senna as, you know, something that can be used in different ways, the senna leaf. But as we think about cassia, it most likely resembles cinnamon more than anything. And so when you think about that, you think about cinnamon in the Bible, or cassia in the Bible, as it was called. It was used in Exodus 30:24, referenced as an anointing oil. In Psalm 45:8, referenced as a perfume. And in Ezekiel 27:19, it was considered a precious commodity. And so what else do we know about cinnamon? Well, oftentimes we could think about cinnamon as a spice. You know, we might be thinking about our cinnamon pancakes. I went out yesterday and I had some cinnamon chip pancakes that were at one of my favorite restaurants, and they were pretty good. But cinnamon is one of the most universal oils because of its wide range of uses. It has benefits for the circulation and heart stimulation. It is also used to help with digestive, for issues of the flu, blood sugar issues, impotence in men, childbirth in women, and even tropical fevers and a wide range of infections. And when it's highly diluted, it has been very effective for use as an anti-parasitic oil against scabies. We know also that cinnamon has the benefit for countering poison, so it can work as an antidote. It also works as an antiseptic, fighting germs and infection. It relieves spasms as an antispasmodic. It can work as an astringent, tightening tissues and reducing oil or secretions. It also is a stimulant, increasing functional activity in the circulatory, cardio, and respiratory system. And in for a digestive, it aids or balances digestion. Key emotions for cinnamon: determined, defending, encouraging, and capability. Key body systems: the endocrine system, the digestive system, immune, and the circulatory system. And that is cassia in its current day form. We know it as cinnamon. All right, so cedar wood. I love the fragrance of cedar wood. In fact, I think I'm going to buy my cedar wood later on today and maybe diffuse it in the home. But cedar wood has been mentioned most commonly as a burned wood for ceremonial purposes. It is associated with cleansing and purification. And it was referenced in Numbers 19 as a ceremonial tool for cleansing leprosy. It was also mentioned in the same way in Leviticus 14 as a perfume in Psalm 45:8, as a symbol of abundance and provision in Numbers 24:6, Psalm 92:12, Ezekiel 31:3, and as a symbol of security and stability in Song of Solomon 1:17, 8, and 9, and in Zechariah 11:2. The choice for wood for building, trading, and currency, as referenced in 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Ezra 3, Jeremiah 22, and Ezekiel 17. And cedarwood was also mentioned by Solomon in his Proverbs and sacred writings in 1 Kings 4:34. So there are lots of uses for cinnamon oil. It is used in the cleansing of the leper. And extracted from the cedars of Lebanon, it was used to embalm the ancient pharaohs, and modern scientists have demonstrated the antioxidant properties of cedarwood even today. So let me tell you a little bit more about cedarwood. Cedarwood oftentimes is referred to, has been referenced to a number of oils from lots of plants, and it's known to be mild, gentle, and calming to the nerves. It is an oil that is used related to the skin, including fungal infections of the scalp and hair, and is effective for a lot of testosterone hormone-related needs as well as masculine emotional challenges. It, too, is an antifungal, an astringent, a diuretic, an expectorant, a hormone balancer for the males, a sedative, a stimulant, and a toner for kidneys, spleen, pancreas, nourishing, supportive, and strengthening in those areas. And I like to use cedar wood, especially for crickets and slugs and insects, because they don't like that so much. So it has the emotional benefits for being centered, regality, endurance, commitment, and respectful. And it works in the body systems of the reproductive, respiratory, circulatory, urinary, nervous, and the skin. And that's cedar wood. So the next oil, which is one another of my favorite, I think all the oils are my favorite, but there's certain ones that I really love, cypress. Cypress, when I think of cypress, I think about circulation. I use it a lot. I make a blend called my super senior massage oil, and I put cypress in that because cypress really helps with circulation. But cypress was mostly mentioned as a companion to cedar. It is celebrated in the scriptures as a symbol of strength and security. And in one of the Bible dictionary, it states that cypress was a native of the Taurus. The Hebrew word that points to a tree as a cypress tree with a hard grain, and a lot of the things that cypress really has been referenced in the Bible is for wood building, trading, and currency, as referenced in 1 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Isaiah 41, as a fragrant hardwood and symbol of security and stability in Isaiah 44:14, a symbol of prosperity in Isaiah 60:13, Hosea 14:8, and Zechariah 11:2, and the choice wood for weaponry in Nahum 2:3. Cypress is the chosen translation, likely due to the Mediterranean cypress, an evergreen from which we derive an essential healing oil known simply as cypress oil. It is comprised largely of pinene and limonene and is an effective antibacterial essential healing oil. And so cypress I really do love. And let me tell you a little bit more about cypress. So cypress, too, is an anti-inflammatory, and you'll find that most oils have that benefit. Also antispasmodic, antiseptic, as a deodorant. In fact, I've used cypress in making some of my natural deodorants that I do. It's also a toner and a vasoconstrictor, which means it can narrow blood vessels. it has the benefit of being restorative on the emotions, workable, flexibility, easing transitions, and relaxing. And on the key body systems, the circulatory, lymphatic, respiratory, urinary, and reproductive systems. It is used in improving circulation, respiratory-related needs ranging from asthma and whooping cough to bronchitis and general congestion. And cypress oil is sometimes considered a poor man's helichrysum, which is a powerful healing oil. And when you can't get that helichrysum, cypress is the oil to get. Now, we all know frankincense. Frankincense. I consider frankincense like the father healing oil of all oils. And frankincense, we know from the Christmas story. And so in the Christmas story, we hear frankincense mentioned. It's also found in Exodus 30:34 and Revelation 18:13. And it's mentioned as part of incense for a priestly rite and as indication of wealth and prosperity in spice trade. It is also part of ceremonial offerings referenced in Leviticus 2:5, 6, and 24, Numbers 5, and 1 Chronicles 9, Nehemiah 13, as a holy ceremonial perfume in Exodus 30:34, as another perfume in Song of Solomon 3:6 and 4:6, and as a precious commodity for potential currency in Isaiah 66, Jeremiah 6:20, Revelation 18:13, and the gift of the Magi to the Christ child, Matthew 2:11. As a healing remedy, frankincense oil is not only antimicrobial, but also an immunostimulator. Could God have been protecting his priest and his son through the use of frankincense? I believe so. And so, what else can I tell you about frankincense? It has so many qualities, strengthening the respiratory system, rejuvenating the skin, and being anti-tumoral. It has the unique ability to pass through the blood-brain barrier, adding both physically and emotionally, and it is hugely beneficial for strengthening the immune system. It has the emotional benefit for healing, honoring, introspective, reflecting, and generous, and it works on the key body systems of the circulatory, immune, respiratory, nervous, and the skeletal system. So the next oil I'm going to talk about, galbanum. So galbanum, you know, we hear about it in the Bible, but, you know, today, you know, where will we find something called galbanum? I don't know, but I'll tell you what I found about galbanum. It is one of the most unfamiliar of all the oils that are referenced as healing oils in the body, but it was listed in the recipe for incense to be used in the heart of the temple. We don't know exactly what species it referred to, but we know that it was a gum. And so the Bible lists galbanum as a holy ceremonial perfume in Exodus 30:34. And it today is collected as what's called ferula gumosa, and it is sold as galbanum, which exhibits some antimicrobial effects and potential use in oral health. I really love study of oils, and so as I'm telling you about these, I'm excited because, you know, there are several more that I'm going to go through, but I'm going to pause for a moment because there's quite a list that I have, so I'm going to just read you a few more of them. I'm not going to go into detail about all of them, and then on the third Monday when I'm back in 2 weeks, I'll be able to talk a little bit more about some more of the oils, but we also have heard about Hyssop, as a part of the ritual cleansing and ceremonial offerings. Hyssop was referenced in Exodus 12, Leviticus 14, Numbers 19, Psalm 51, and Hebrews 9. The sponge that soaked up the sour wine that was given to Jesus on the cross in John 19:29. And it was mentioned by Solomon in his Proverbs and sacred writings in 1 Kings 4:34. And I want to also just tell you a little bit that it, while there's not a hyssop that I have like in my collection of oils, it's close to what's considered thyme and marjoram, which are also very powerful oils that I have. Myrrh, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, myrrh is one of the most decorated oils in the body. It's listed as a precious commodity, potential currency, anointing oil, ointment, perfume, incense, as an edible spice, one of the gifts of the Magi to the Christ child, mixed with wine and given to Jesus at the cross in Mark 15:23, and for burial preparations for Nicodemus used in the Nicodemus used in the tomb. And it isn't a wood, but it is a resin that comes from the wood. Then there is also myrtle, which is a choice wood for burning ceremonial booths in Nehemiah 8:15 and a symbol of provision in Isaiah 41:19 and Isaiah 55:13 and a symbol of protection in Zechariah 1:8 and 10:11. And that's a low-growing plant with flowers that produce an intense, lovely aroma that's said to be the meaning of Esther's Hebrew name. And that's a powerful oral myrtle. Also, Rose of Sharon and Spikenard. But I'm going to stop there because I want you to just take in the information, the fact that as we think about Christmas and as we think about the holiday season, the oils have a special purpose, because God gifted us these natural healing powers that we don't have to go to a pharmaceutical for. We can enjoy them in our home. So have a beautiful rest of your December 2nd day, and as we get ready for the upcoming celebration of the birth of our Christ, be blessed.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good morning. Thank you for joining me on Rev. Lydia Speaks on the Josie's Inspiration Network and the Finding My Way Network. We are almost done with the first month of the new year, the new decade, since this is 2020. And let me ask you something. How have you been coming along with all of your new resolutions and intentions? Well, if you feel like you need a little help, let me offer you some in the way of mindful manifestation. We hear so much today about manifesting your good and how we're to see it before it is. But it's not as easy as it sounds, especially if the world that you live in is showing you something different. So what is a person to do? When you decide you want something to be, we're told that it will be if you speak with purpose. But what does that mean? It means not being impulsive, just reacting in response to what is done to you. It means practicing being kinder to yourself and others. So many times we practice kindness in our own speech to others, but not so much in your self-speak. It's about speaking with meaning so that what you say serves a purpose. And we all tend to do the opposite, because we live in a world where bigger and louder and brasher is considered better, where the sharper tongue cuts to the chase and tells people off and gets them off of your back and uses words as weapons. But in lieu of being more purposed, we need to become more intentional as to how we approach what we say, even to ourselves. And sometimes we're not as on target because of how we were raised. You see, family tends to mold us. And even though people say, don't judge me by my family, and I'm nothing like the people in my family, if you were raised in a large family, or maybe you were the youngest, it may be that you're used to having to be louder or faster on the draw than everyone else just to be heard or to get your point across. Maybe you were never taught the art of conscious listening and communication. The way we're spoken to and the manner in which we are or were either respected or not, whether we want to admit it or not, has shaped our relationship with ourselves as much as with others. The way you were treated may have triggered insecurities that are so deeply rooted in your psyche that you unconsciously speak in ways that alienate you from your very purpose. When you carry unresolved issues or emotions, that factor alone can trigger you to act or speak impulsively in an effort to protect yourself in the only way that you feel comfortable, which sometimes comes across as an attack. It's what I call the get them first syndrome. But at those moments, we are unconsciously distancing ourselves from our true nature, that nature that brings forth the fruits of the Spirit that we're taught about in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all nine of these attributes of the Holy Spirit are the direct opposite of the flesh nature. We may not be aware that the everyday little things we do are leading us that much further away from manifesting what we really desire. We may say that, well, everybody does it and everybody says it and everybody thinks this way. But it's important to clean up your self-speak, because words have power. They can be used to build or to destroy. It's important to remember that you're in control of your purpose as well as your words. The first thing we need to learn is how to consciously listen to our words. Just see how you feel when they're spoken. Do they make you feel better or bigger as a person? Seriously? Or just do they stroke your ego for that moment? In order to speak and manifest with purpose, we must be willing to step outside of ourselves, observe ourselves in the moment, but also to view the big picture of the groundwork laid down by your words. Did they move you any closer? Or did they push you further away from manifesting what you want? And most importantly, stop the inner chatter. You know, the little voice that tells you what to think? I'm talking about the voice that tells you you're not worthy of the dream you're working toward. The one that tells you, if you try and fail, everyone will know that you're not worthy, so why bother? I had that voice for a very long time before I knew the truth. That is, my manifesting my dreams came in the same bag as minding my business. Now, I'm not talking about not being nosy when it comes to looking at your neighbors, something like that. I'm talking about the business of picking my thoughts so that each waking moment takes me closer and closer to obtaining my dream. And staying quiet about that dream leads to quicker manifestations. Because you see, folks may wonder what you're doing or how you are surviving. But until you open up and let them in, they can only speculate. And in doing all of that, and I know people who do, they're actually putting their growth on hold, worrying about you. In the meantime, you are ever so quietly maintaining and gaining momentum. Imagine the shock when your dreams manifest publicly, positively, and others get to see. Now, you're still going to get some feedback of negativity, but by that time, you will have mastered the art of not letting others' agenda rattle you. You will have trained your mind by aligning it to the mind of the divine, whose thoughts of you and for you are thoughts of prosperity, perfect health, and the longevity to enjoy it all. You know, you're for all intents and purposes under new management. And that's an awesome feeling, to know that you have power over your life, to think, to feel, to do or not do what is best in the long run for your growth mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. It can cause you to have a joy that you can't contain, a sense of freedom so strong that you never want to lose it. And when you get to that point, blessings will fall so hard and fast, you won't be able to make room for them all. So that's the time you freely give. You actually become a conduit for God's good. You won't think twice about blessing others because that is now the purpose of your manifestations. So make sure you use this blessing wisely and always live in the flow. That's your purpose. Everything created has a cyclical purpose, to bring up the vibration of everything and everyone else. Every living plant cleanses the air you breathe, and every thought you have is a prayer. And since you're always thinking, that means you're always in communicating with God. And if that doesn't have an impact on you, I don't know what will. That fact alone should be enough to cause you to pause and examine yourself. Brothers and sisters, you are so powerful. And your power lies not in the fact of what is happening and whether or not you can control it, but rather how you react to those things. I can remember not long ago when I was about to enter into a contract that it would bind me to having to come up with a fixed amount each month. Now, my logical, practical mind said, girl, are you crazy? What happens when, now notice it didn't even say if, when something comes up? Look, it's best for you to just keep doing what you've been doing. You're doing all right. No need to step out. And you know, that kind of sounds like good, sound advice. Now, here's the problem. That commitment would be a catalyst to me growing. So I thought about it, and I changed my fear-based thoughts to, I am able to do all things through my ever-evolving Christ nature. And knowing and trusting the power of that Christ nature, I know and expect that all things are working together for my good. And I will continue in good health and abundant prosperity. You see, all limitations are fear-based. and knowing that God didn't give you a spirit of fear, I can move in confidence. You see, that force is not only in you. That force is you, because your force is source energy. God is the source. And as we set up a positive energy field around our thoughts, using this source, we set up the vibration that all is well. And so it is. You begin to feel it. You move differently. You act as if it's impossible to fail. And you speak that into existence. And it's an immutable law that what you speak into that law of Christ nature has to express itself into your reality. It has to manifest. So I ask you, are you from now on going to act as though you're under brand new management and get excited about that? Or are you still reacting from fear, content to plod along day in and day out, just doing the same old thing and getting the same old thing? Your knowledge and your faith are muscles that need exercise. Listen, you exercise your body temple by breaking down the habits that cause illness, like lack of movement and exercise, lack of fresh air, or not getting enough sleep or eating correctly. So now I'm just inviting you to exercise or grow your knowledge of what God says about you and exercise your faith by speaking that into existence. Now, it may take some time, but just as your physical muscles grow from repetitiveness of lifting weights, your faith grows by repetitive study that grows your knowledge of who you are to and in God. And it's with this knowledge that you have the confidence you need to succeed. That every time you have a moment of hesitation, you also have something and someone to turn to who will give you the right answers. And that's just so you don't repeat past negative experiences. And yes, I've had God make a way out of no way more than once. But to do that, you have to believe He will and trust in His track record and dwell in the promise of Psalm 23. Give fertile ground to the seeds of positive thought, then watch them express and grow. I use the phrase mindfully manifesting my good, my three M's, and I have it written on the first page of my journal to remind me to think the best for myself, as well as I use it for a measuring stick that I can use each day to see how well I'm doing. Some days, I nail it, and some days, not as much. I've seen the word mind, that is in mindfully, described as the seat of perception of the things we hear and see. So it made sense to me that if I watch my thoughts, and if I see the beauty in things that may not be as obvious as, say, like the immediate beauty of a flower, then my perception of the world around me will renew my mind. That's the first step to changing old thought patterns. Be ye renewed by the renewing of your mind, sending great peace and comfort through your energy centers. And that causes all kinds of physiological changes, large and small. You see, a renewed mind is the first step to living more Christ-centered life, because you move into a higher state of consciousness and you're linked to the divine mind, so that you can be like Psalm says, you can walk through the valley of the shadows. And what that means is walking around on this earth, being not of this earth, around those that they may not have come up in their vibration yet. But you don't fear the same things they fear. You fear no evil, because since you see things through a clean lens, your thought patterns will lead you in another direction, causing you to manifest your good more deliberately. This is not a name it or claim it. This is not magic. This is not luck. This is work, and it's hard work, and it takes commitment to the goals and dreams you've set. It takes tireless dedication, and that's something a lot of people don't have, because they give up when they don't immediately see results. But I'm here to tell you, This is not something I read. This is not something I heard. I live this. It works if you work it. So why am I telling you how hard it is before you even start? I believe in telling people the truth because I want you to be aware of the challenges as well as the victories. The success you feel is called living in the flow, and you will never know the meaning of true freedom until you learn to live in that Christ consciousness, freedom from worry, because his promises are real, freedom from lack, because one of the promises is provision. You can't outgive God. You will find yourself drinking from the saucer because your cup is running over so full. You'll find yourself being able to access ideas that are in the best interest of you and everyone around you. Your name will be in rooms you have never even entered, places where your eyes may never see. Your blessings will come pressed down, running over. And when they do, you share just as quickly. So now you decide, is a change of mind worth it? Or are you okay just being comfortably uncomfortable, looking for the worst, and getting exactly what you asked for? I say a little change is a good thing. And I say the work that it would take to make this come to pass is something you really, really need to do. When I'm about to end my show, I always tell you to relax, release, and relate. So this is no different. Relax into the thought patterns of mindfully seeking the mind of God. And when you have found that, you can just sit there and breathe easy because you have no more worry. You have no more cares about things not happening the way you want them to happen. Because even if it's not the exact way you thought it would, God provides. Release all of that worry. Release every care because you have somebody who cares for you and you can speak to that someone each and every moment, anytime you feel like it. And you can relate your story to the one who cares and can actually do something about it. It's time for a change. It's time for you to do what you know you need to do. It's time for you to act as though it's impossible to fail, until those actions become reality. This is Reverend Lydia, and I'm telling you, thank you. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for even giving me the opportunity to tell you the things that I know to be true. This is my reality, and I'm glad to share it. And I'm glad for all of you who listen and come to the same reality of the Christ consciousness is where you want to be, is where you want to dwell. And I will invite you to do these things and come back and let me know exactly what happened. Be blessed.
produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.